Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from the other side.
Now presenting.
From the other side.
Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were supposed to call it the Hour of Fucking Enlightenment, but... we decided to keep it a little cleaner than that, but, you know, it goes along with his potty mouth. You know that, don't you? Our guest, Mark Ireland, hello.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm so excited to have you on. Guys, this is Mark Ireland, okay? He's got an incredible story that he will share with us, but he is the author of Soul Shift, which I've read twice and loved it. It really, really helped me after Eric died. It really did. It went so far to heal me. And then there's Messages from the Afterlife, which I have not read, but will. He will discuss, hopefully, his background as a son of a renowned psychic medium. And Mark, you pursued a mainstream lifestyle until your son passed away, your son Brandon, right?
Yeah, so I grew up with a father who actually, I would say, it was one of the most gifted psychic mediums of the 20th century, at the very top of the heap amongst maybe half a dozen people.
Mm.
And so I grew up with that. I saw that as a child, both in terms of the psychic stuff that he knew was going on all the time and you couldn't get away with anything.
Also,
the glimpses of mediumship where he would spontaneously share messages with other people about deceased loved ones, including, very specific information, first and last names and hobbies and whatever you can think of. So even as
wow.
a child, I saw this, and it gave me kind of a real anchor, if you will, to understand that there is more than we can see with our five physical senses. But growing up as an adult, I kind of took my own path. It was a conventional path of getting a college degree, going into the business world, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of us want to blaze our own trail. You know, we don't want to be our parent and maybe be exactly who they were. And deep down, we're not exactly the
sure.
same person, even though some of those abilities are resident in me and are resident in a lot of people. What brought me back to it was my youngest son, Brandon's passing, which shook me back into it, initially for the interest of mm-hmm. having that kind of connection again myself, knowing it was possible, and then using that as kind of a starting point for figuring out, I need to do more with my life, and I can help other people with this information, especially because I am a grounded person, and,
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of left brain and kind of a science mind, aside from knowing, these things of the esoteric nature. So I thought I could be helpful to other people, and that's kind of where all this started.
Wow. Mark, this is interesting because our stories are so similar, except you were raised by, a father that was into the spiritual, and I was raised by atheists, and I had to battle that whole thing. But did you always believe in what your father was doing as true, or did you ever doubt it?
I did. I never doubted it because I saw it in the most extreme cases. And even now as an adult, it's even more solidified because of these people that are coming to me from around the world that he interacted with, telling them things that there's no way you could know. And a lot of those things were precognitive. So, you're talking about predicting something that hasn't happened yet. You can't fake that. As long as it's a legitimate thing that somebody knows about in advance and it happens and it's a specific unusual thing, then there's something to it, and just
absolutely
he just went to extremes beyond what I've seen any current modern day mediums do, and some of this is old school stuff too, like putting the tape and blindfolds over his eyes and all that. He could tell you serial numbers of bills. You could put a bill
inside of a
message sheet inside of an envelope, and he could tell you what it said and what was in it. But he would go beyond that, and provide a lot of other detailed information about people's lives and things that they hadn't even asked about that rang true. And this rang all the way from where people would put him on the spot and call him a phony, and then he says, "Do you really want me to tell you everything?" And they'd say yes, and he'd say, "Are you sure?" and I'd say yes, and then he'd reveal like four people would be at a table and two were having an affair and they were the other couple.
Oh!
Was, yeah. Now, it was rare that those kind of things happened because he usually was very discreet, but, you know, he had this kind of insight. So to answer your question, I know I've dragged my response out, but, yeah, when you live with that and you see that day in and day out for yourself, and then occasionally you have your own personal experiences that are kind of mind-blowing, you know that it's real. It's just not – it's just hard for people to reconcile with their worldview because of how we're raised to think. And how science has been, it's really a method. The scientific method is not a closed view. It's not a position. It's a method to get at the truth. But it's become in some people's mind a set structure of belief and dogma, just like certain religious beliefs.
Exactly. Now, did the knowledge you had about your father's gift help you when Brandon passed away?
Well, absolutely. It was a tremendous help. So first thing I did, you know, was just remembered. And just remembering the things I'd seen gave me a hopefulness, even though I was really obviously crushed, as I'm sure you were, overwhelmed with grief and sadness because of that separation and not even being able to envision a life without your child, your youngest child. But then, you know, once I'd kind of regrouped, there were a couple experiences in the first few days that really had a profound impact. The first one was, you know, I made a commitment to myself. I said, I want to personally connect in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I wasn't a good meditator, I actually went into my closet, shut the door, had no light at all. I just sat there quietly and kind of cleared my mind and asked to get any kind of information I could. So then I started seeing images, and what kind of passed along inside of my forehead was an image of Brandon. And he was smiling and seemed happy. And then it was like he scrolled across. And then the next thing I saw was a cross with an oval loop at the top. I'd seen those, but I didn't know what they meant. So I then had to Google that to find out after the fact that it was an Ankh, which is the oldest cross of recorded human history.
Oh,
it's from the Egyptian civilization. And it symbolizes, the lower part, the cross symbolizes physical life. The oval loop at the top symbolizes eternal life. So I got in symbolic form a message to me that I had to go interpret that I didn't already know. So that was very helpful.
That's so powerful. He was trying to tell you that, hey, we're eternal beings. I am too. I don't have a physical body, but I will live on, and there's no reason to stop having a relationship with me. And do you have some sort of relationship with Brandon still? Do you yourself?
Well,
channel?
I do, but it's not like a day. It's not a day in and day out thing. He's in my prayers every day. He's in my thoughts every day. When I need help, you know, I'll pray to God, but I'll also ask for help from my dad, my son, and other people. I feel like he's close at hand, but he's got his own life in another realm, and he's doing things. But he is still engaged in some way with this world, and I think he's part of a bigger movement to help us, you know, get through this, not only as parents, but as a society and people to understand that there's more so that they will live a fulfilling life now and not give up and not fall into that materialistic, physicalistic paradigm of just, you know, living for, you know, money or material gain or even becoming hedonistic, you know, just to satisfy their urges. But rather to realize the depth and importance of this life and live it fully, knowing that they're loved and there's a purpose and a plan, even though we're told we live in a chaotic universe that has no meaning. I found that not to be true, and there is meaning and purpose. And so I would say, yeah, from that standpoint, yes, I'm still engaged with him. Maybe we don't talk every day. I'm not going to mediums all the time. And in terms of my own personal communications, whether they're in dream state or whatever, I just don't need that as often because he's cool and things are good. And other people need that more, people that are newer and more raw feeling. Now, in the beginning, too, you know, right days after that, my uncle also had the ability my father did, and I went to him. We talked just a matter of 3 days afterward, and he had told me that. Now, at this time, I didn't know Brandon's cause of death. All I'd known is he'd gone on a hike with friends in the mountains behind our home in Scottsdale, and that he had complained of numb limbs And he said his heart felt like it was kind of beating fast. But that's all. And his friends, when he had passed out, he'd thrown up and they tried. He laid down. He says, I have to lay down now. And then he laid down and his eyes rolled back. And that was pretty much it. But his best buddy tried to resuscitate him for 45 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
But, you know, after that, you know, the authorities wouldn't tell us the cause of death. We knew that he had suffered minor asthma attacks before, but nothing major. I mean, he had a puffer, you know, inhaler. But his buddy said he tried to use that just in case that was asthma, but they didn't really think it was asthma. It seemed different.
Mm.
So a couple days later, we don't have the autopsy report yet. I talked to my uncle, and he said, hey, Mark, I wanted to talk to you because I had my morning meditation. Your father came to me. And he was clear as could be. I saw him and I heard him. And he told me that he was there when Brandon passed. And he said that Brandon was a little confused in the beginning, but he helped him adjust and helped him, you know, in terms of crossing over or whatever. And he wanted you to know that you're the best parents he ever could have had, which is what we all like to hear. But along with that, he said, your dad said that Brandon's death was caused by a lack of oxygen that caused his heart to fail. Lack of oxygen in his bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days later, the physician that performed the autopsy calls me and said, oh, your son died of a severe asthma attack that it was so severe it's like a case of drowning where the lungs expand to the point of nearly meeting in the middle. And and it caused the blood oxygen level to drop and caused cardiac arrest, which is heart failure. So my uncle told me that 2 days before the autopsy, which was pretty cool. Not that you want to know, it's hard to hear that happening, but to know that was accurate and it was validated before hearing that from the physician. And ironically, the physician obviously was of that preset materialist mindset because I had made mention of something to do with near-death experiences, and then she starts to tell me how, oh, that's usually just a lack of oxygen or people see the white light because of carbon dioxide, you know, and I didn't counteract her because I'd read enough and knew enough to know that there's a lot more to it than that. And that some of those explanations do not hold up, especially in cases where people have come back to validate things that occurred while they were in a coma or in cardiac arrest that occurred in another room down the hospital or things like
crazy.
That. Like,
what about that sneaker that was found in the gutter on top of the, you know, this lady saw a freaking tennis shoe in a gutter on top of the – there is no way. Come on. Why are people just so resistant? You know, but I had that fighting against me, being a doctor, being surrounded by doctors, and having atheists. My father's first words when I said Eric's dead was, sorry, Lisa, he's going to turn to dust. So I had to fight that whole battle. It was so difficult. But, all right, so you and Brandon are a team. Tell me about your mission, and then we'll talk also. I really want to talk about your books and other things that you're into.
Well, I think there's a couple missions. You know, one has to do with other parents who have been through the same thing. So I came together with a woman named Elizabeth Boyson a number of years ago, probably met in 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had started a single group for bereaved parents in Scottsdale and asked me to speak at her first gathering. And so I did, and she had like 30 or 40 people there, and it was really helpful to a lot of them, and so they kept coming back. And then I think within 6, 9, 12 months, I ended up leaving a job in the corporate world. Now, I'm still in the corporate world, but that particular job I was leaving, I talked to one of my best medium friends, Tina Powers, out of Tucson, who's phenomenal, and just told her what was going on. And she said, Mark, I really think that, you know, your main mission in life is to help other bereaved parents. So maybe you think about an organization, something you could do with that would be helpful. So I then thought it over and thought, you know, Elizabeth has a good thing going here with a group she started, which she was calling Parents United in Loss on Facebook. And in terms of the group meetings, but the thing is, it's only one location. And if you could develop a website and maybe a newsletter and then blueprint what she does and offer it to other people who want to set this up in other cities, this could be really big. So fast forward to 2018, and now we have 50 affiliates across the U.S., in Canada,
no
and overseas
kidding.
In Europe. We have 11,000 Facebook members on what is a private page. You can't even get there without like a referral from another parent just because
wow.
the sensitivity of the postings.
Oh, of course.
So this thing just exploded. And we had our first ever conference actually in April this year in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we were hoping to get 200 people. So, you know, at least we could pay the bills and not have to pull a lot out of our pockets. We ended up with 500 people registering.
Wow.
So it was
goodness.
Phenomenal. And we had George Anderson. We had Suzanne Giesman. We had a lot of top people. And we're doing it again in 2020 in Charleston, South Carolina. We're figuring we'll have 1,000 people. So
oh, that's awesome.
We're getting almost as big. I don't know how big the big ones are. Like Compassionate Friends is probably the biggest.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The difference is we are the one group that allows people to talk about evidence for the afterlife and share their spiritual experiences. The other organizations don't go down that path.
Oh,
they're
no.
more just focused on the grief recovery. And
how to get over it. Right. And you know what? The way to get over it is to realize that your child or your deceased loved one is not gone. That's the way to get over it. Like, yeah, you missed the physical. You have that separation for the physical, but you know, that's what helped me when I actually realized that he really wasn't gone. So I think, man, I bet Brandon is so freaking proud of you, you know?
Well, you know, I'm just helping. There's a lot of people helping and a lot of people participating. This organization's filled with folks who do a great job in this area.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because as I've gone through this and met parents and seen the recovery or the improvement in their spirit and how they feel and their view of life, I spoke at the IANS national meeting a few years ago, and I had what I called the three pillars of healing, and that's now grown to five. But to just tell you briefly what I see those to be, and I think this is kind of something that's worked for the people who I've met who have gotten better. The first one is to have support from family and friends. Sometimes it's a challenge, you know, because sometimes they don't know how to deal with you, and you want to talk about your kid and you want them to talk about your kid, and they're nervous about that. So
yeah.
But if you can get that support from family and friends, that's a solid anchor. Next one is developing relationships with others who have experienced the same thing. So we obviously can relate because we've been through the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's something our group can provide because we bring people together and they can share experiences and develop relationships and lifelong friendships. And then the third one I call service, and it's really shift. Once you're at a point where you're healed enough, if you start doing something positive to help others heal, it helps you heal too. So I often see, like, if someone's child died of cancer, they'll start some sort of foundation for that specific type of cancer to try and help with research fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's, you know, SIDS or whatever, they'll get involved with typically something for their child, or they'll just put more heart and soul into our organization.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, 501c3 tax-free charity. And so some people will do that. They'll focus on that, or they'll open an affiliate location in a city where we don't have one. So they're able to give back that way. The fourth one, and this is hard for some people, is forgiveness. And that doesn't just mean forgiving other people, but forgiving yourself too, because I'd say half or more of the parents, no matter what the circumstances, blame themselves in some way. They think, if I just done this or I've just done that, and that doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good.
Yeah,
and
it won't bring them back.
You know, and sometimes you'll find somebody whose loved one or their child was, you know, killed by a drunk driver, or somebody shot them, or whatever happened.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy, but if they can get to the point of forgiveness, it makes a tremendous shift in them and will help them so much. And then the last one, the fifth one, is really like what we started talking about, which is learning about evidence for the afterlife and sharing personal experiences. So you start to view this world and this experience differently than maybe you did before. Whether you were an atheist, an agnostic, or on the other end of the spectrum, maybe a fundamentalist Christian that thinks this stuff's taboo, but you start to put the pieces together and realize, well, wait a minute, this stuff they talk about in the Bible sounds a lot like these things, you know. And like my dad would pretend, that's because it's the same stuff, you know. It's just that we've as a society, and even within the religious traditions, kind of ignored it or tried to skirt around the subject. And I think maybe part of the reason is because the practitioners or the leaders of the church over the millennia lost the abilities, because, you know, the focus shifted away from the truly deep spiritual connection, and using those tools, the gifts of the Spirit, as they're called, for the good and purpose of healing and the connection. People, when you go through what you or I have gone through, it shakes you and it opens you up to be open to new experiences and new ways of looking at the world like nothing else. And that's what
I see. Yeah. If you make the choice to do that, instead of just curling up in the fetal position and staying in the corner sucking your thumb, I mean, it's
and
you
some
know,
do
I've
that,
been, I've been through both of those too. Okay, you're right. It is so hard. Do you think this thing that happened to Brandon was part of a spiritual contract, so that you too could bring this healing to the world?
So, you know, you hear a lot about your soul's plan, but Robert Schwartz is an author that wrote a book about this, and I'm friends with him. And so on some level, I think there is a plan to our lives, and things like this that happen. Did I exist before this life and Brandon exist before this life? I think so. Did we sit down and have an agreement? Maybe in some way. Obviously, we don't remember that, and I think we're shielded from some of those memories because maybe you wouldn't come here and do that if you knew what you were getting into, you know, as a physical being. I do think that it was a planned kind of thing. I hate, you know, in a way I hate to say that, because you think back to think you'd do anything to bring them back. But then you look at all the good that's happened since then and how many people have been helped. And a lot of them, they wouldn't have stuck around if they didn't have that shred of hope. I've had so many people say, hey, I read your book, one of your books, and it helped me have the motivation to stay here on the earth, because I was ready to go join my kid, you know, and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I get the same thing. Almost every day. You've saved me, literally, figuratively, et cetera. And it's really kind of scary, because it's quite the responsibility.
It is. But look at the alternative. And really, you read my book first, or one of the first books you told me, I think. And that got you going down this path to where now you're helping too, right?
Yeah. So it's not a vicious circle, but it's a domino effect. So,
exactly.
Well, let's talk about
different ways, but.
Yeah. Can we talk about your first book, Soul Shift? Can you talk about that with Alyssa? Awesome book.
Sure. So feel free to ask any questions, or I can just give an overview if you'd like. You want me to start with an overview? So we actually already started talking about it, because it really begins with the story of Brandon and who he was as a physical boy. He was 18 years old, full of life. He loved to play the bass guitar. He was very proficient at that. He wanted to study physics in college. He was a senior in high school. Wow. He was great at math. But he was really a gentle soul, and he didn't really judge people, and he befriended kids that didn't have any friends. He liked to paintball, and he was
very active. That sounds like Eric, except for the physics part. It sounds so much like Eric.
So, you know, I think, and I'm hearing that. Somebody just wrote me today, said, I just started reading Soul Shift, and I can't believe how much Brandon is like our son. That kind of tells me, too, like, these kids that are only supposed to be here a short time, I think it's part of, you know, it's a broader plan maybe, where they are bringing about or contributing to this shift of understanding and love and compassion that's supposed to take place. Because it sounds like they're almost like the same kid in a way. But, you know, it starts with Brandon, explains who he is, how he passed, and then some of the things that I had happen. Like I've told you two of the stories so far with my uncle and my own experience. And then it goes into... I think it was just a month after Brandon passed, I was watching NBC News, the local news affiliate in Phoenix, one night in February of that year, and I saw a clip about this mediumship research study being conducted at the University of Arizona at the time, and I saw the medium who was being, you know, tested was Alison Dubois, who at that time wasn't well known.
Oh, yeah.
Became famous because of the show Medium. Patricia Arquette.
That was the Netflix binge that my husband and I, you know, started. It was awesome. And when the series ended, it's like I lost a whole reality. I lost a family. It was awful. But yeah, I loved it.
And
it
she
awesome.
Told me, and she would tell you that, you know, the early stories, some of those were actual true stories of things she'd been involved with, but then later on just became Hollywood. But nonetheless, she gained a lot of notoriety because of that. And so anyhow, she was in, you know, back to February 2004, I'm watching this news clip, and there she is, and she had to read for these people, provide a reading in a blinded way where she couldn't see them and they couldn't talk to her. Mm-hmm. And she gave them a lot of very specific information about places they like to go and things they like to do and all this. And then they debriefed with the people afterwards and confirmed the accuracy. And I was pretty impressed. I thought, gee, I'd love to get a reading from her. And someday I'd love to be in that lab, you know, and be that sitter. Well, the very next day, and this is one of those synchronistic events that convinces me that there's more to this than meets the eye, I get a call the next day from one of my dad's old friends, a man named Jerry Conser in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he tells me, Mark, hey, I know what you've been through, and but I know someone who might be able to help you. Her name is Allison Dubois.
Oh, you're kidding.
Here's a phone number you can call to get an appointment. No.
Oh, my God.
So I end up getting on a wait list for a reading with her, which happened later.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I started writing just as a catharsis, things about Brandon and what had happened and all this and the thing with my uncle. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to put my energy into writing a biography about my dad. Well, I hired an editor and I got so far and she said, you know what, you can write about your dad's story anytime. I think you have your own story to tell right now. And so that's kind of the beginning of Soul Shift, and it evolved from there. And then I thought, you know, maybe I could document what's coming out of these readings and see how they go. And so I ended up having four readings, and I went into them kind of as controlled a way as I could, where they didn't really know anything about me or my background. And then the information I got was pretty phenomenal. One was with Jamie Clark in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
One was with Allison Dubois. One was with Linda Williamson in England. And then the last one, I was actually in that lab at the U of A with Lori Campbell for a Discovery Channel feature that people can see if they go to my website on my media page.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, basically the book goes through those four readings in detail. And Linda Williamson, if you go to that chapter, it's pretty interesting to read now, here, all those years, more than a decade later. She's the medium that gave John Edward, everyone knows medium John Edward, a message that was a secret code from his mother that they shared before she passed.
That's amazing.
And so he had been to two other mediums for that before seeing her. And then he went to her and she said, well, your mother tells me she's the guiding light in your life. And he said, that's it. The secret code was the guiding light. She was a huge soap opera fan and that was her favorite show.
Oh, guiding light. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, let's talk
Linda,
about your...
So Linda, though, if you read...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
If you read that chapter in Soul Shift, what I was going to say, and then I'll go back. She says there's a group of people here and on the other side that are working together to bring about this greater understanding. And I see you speaking to more and more people. I see you building an organization, pulling a lot of people together. And it's really just about sharing this information to give people hope. And lo and behold, that's what's happened exactly. And then so those readings are there. I've got some excerpts from my father's book that I had later discovered on ESP development. And there's a whole story about that. There was an affirmation that Allison Dubois gave me about that I can share later. I don't want to drag this out. And then the last two chapters are really, one is kind of my philosophical view of things after going through this, the meaning, the purpose, and all that. And then the last one is just like playing the skeptic and, okay, here's my left brain analysis of what's just happened and how I think this makes sense.
Well, that chapter really meant something to me because I felt like I was in the same place as a skeptic that really, and I was really kind of afraid to believe. There were so many signs that I could not dismiss, but my feeling was, you know, what if I do totally believe? And then I found out it was all nonsense, you know, then it'd be like losing Eric all over again. So there was some fear involved there. All right, so let's talk about your medium certification program. I think that's interesting. You and I communicated about that several months ago.
Mm-hmm. So here's what that's about. So you probably get asked this too, but all the time I'm asked for like references for mediums from people. Like, who can I go to that's good? Well, I know some great people, but the best ones that are most famous tend to be expensive and they have long wait lists. And those two things go hand in hand. You know, they try and control demand by pricing, and some of them, that's their only source of income as well.
Of course.
So I had to figure out what's a good plan B. Now, there are people out there that have lists of mediums, but they're not really tested. They just kind of come by references from other people. And then you have ones like the Winbridge Institute, which Dr. Julie Beischel runs, and I think they're called the Winbridge Foundation now. But they do some extreme mediumship testing, like quintuple blind and all this kind of stuff.
Gosh.
And, you know, they've got a handful of people certified there that are great mediums, but they're hard to get to. They're backlogged. And so I thought, really what I need here is like some undiscovered gems. Who's out there that people don't know about that I can run through some tests that are not quite as extreme as Winbridge, but I can make sure that, you know, the reading's done by phone. They don't know who the sitter is before the reading. And, you know, they can't really share information back and forth other than to confirm, yes, that's right, or whatever. And then we transcribe the readings. I grade them for accuracy, and then I award bonus points for very specific, you know, out of the moonshot hits.
So
and that's what we've done.
There's
science
behind it. You've got a grading system and everything. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And so Tricia Robertson, who's with the Society for Psychical Research in Scotland, is a friend of mine, and she helped me, you know, develop those protocols. I kind of gave her a rough draft, and she helped me refine that. And then I've been using those. And now I think I started that about 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago. And I think I've certified a dozen or 13 mediums, and I'm getting requests every week. I'd say, you know, at least maybe after I tell them the rules of the game, a third to a half come back to me the second time. The rest don't bother because it's too much work or they don't feel comfortable enough going through those blinded reading tests. And then of the third or half that come back, then, you know, I'd say maybe only a third pass because it's not easy. And that's intended to be that way because if I'm referring people to somebody, I want them to be good. And no medium's perfect all the time. And no matter how good somebody is, they're going to have an off day.
No doctor
maybe,
is perfect
know,
all
somebody...
the time. No businessman is perfect all the time, of course.
No.
But the mediums have it rough because they've got so many people judging them and, you know, feeling
oh,
it's all woo-woo. And, you know, it's very difficult to be a medium. Right, Veronica?
Absolutely. I'm listening intently. And yes, absolutely. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
they don't give you much
of a break. If you have filters, and they're over your ass, or why are you charging? Because I had to have a roof over my head and feed my children. I mean, I don't get it.
Would you rather I go be a bookkeeper and not be able to do this, or would you rather be able to have me provide this service?
Yeah.
And the mediums I work with, they love me because I think part of this is I'm helping to try and give them credibility too. Now, whether everyone accepts, you know, my process or not, I don't know, but it's pretty well documented and it's right on the website. They can read it and it's not any, there's no fluff to it. And people that go through it, you could say you don't believe or whatever, but I'd like to see the non-believer go through that and see James Randi try and pull that off and pass.
God.
You know?
So you guys can go check this program out. www.findacertifiedmedium.com. And Mark's website is my kids make fun of the way I say that, www.markirelandauthor.com. And before we take calls, I was wondering if I could have your permission to get Eric to go get Brandon or for Brandon to come in.
Sure. Now, feel free.
Okay, there's a hesitation there. Are you okay?
No, I just didn't know the process because I haven't heard this happen before. So, no,
okay. Hey, Eric, I love you, sweetie. Can you go get y'all are probably already buddies because you sound so similar. Can you go get Brandon for us?
First of all, he says, I love you, Mom. And he noticed that you forgot to say that in the beginning. He was letting
well,
me know that you
me.
Forgot.
well, he knows I love
and
him.
And he says that he will do his very best. Although there has been an energy with him through this whole time that's been kind of, how do I say it, back and forth. They've been bantering back and forth, kind of not joking, but, you know, just kind of camaraderie and going at each other back and forth. A very fun, playful energy, very young energy with him. And so I'm not sure that it's your son or not, Mark, but this energy with him has been offering up insight, tips on how to, be more of an athletic being, but yet not. Did your son skate? Was he a skater?
He skates on a skateboard.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because they're talking about skater being a skater energy, and I'm
Eric,
not sure where Eric chimed in on that.
Yeah, Eric tried to teach me how to do an ollie on his skateboard. It's like, okay, just go ahead and get and open up with a hip fracture right away for this.
Well, that's what they've been talking about. I've been listening to you. I've been listening to them go back and forth about the skater lingo that I have no clue about, but that's what they were talking about. So there you go.
All right. Well, Eric, is that great. Brandon you got with you?
He says yes. He would confirm that for you. And actually, he says that the two of them will help take some calls. And he's saying Eric is confirming with me, and Brandon is also confirming that both of them being on the other side was so that the two of you could fulfill your soul's mission, which is to go out and help people.
I felt like Brandon had a spiritual contract with his dad. I just felt it, man.
And there's such a piece about Brandon. And, you know, Mark, you've done this. You've been to the best of the best and all of that. But I can tell you, Brandon's energy is very nonchalant. He's very chill. And he's very accepting of where he is and what he's doing. And does he have a dog, Mark?
It's interesting because he didn't have one in life, but I've had about every medium say he's with a dog now.
Mm-hmm. He is. He absolutely is. And he's saying that, Dad, he wants you to know that he finally got his dog. Now, in life, there were circumstances, he's saying, that prevented him from having a dog, but he finally has his dog. And actually, he's got the dog with him, and it's a beautiful-looking dog. So just FYI.
Was it asthma that got in the way? He couldn't have a dog because of his asthma?
Well, no, it's just, we just didn't have pets once. The kids had allergies and stuff, and so did I. That wasn't really the issue. It was more about who's going to take care of the dog and
take care
things
of it
like
and
that.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all
yep.
those kinds of considerations.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you know what type of dog this is by any chance?
He's actually, what I can tell you, what I'm looking at, what I see, appears to look like a collie. It's a bigger dog. It's golden in color. And it's a very lovable, very faithful dog.
Is it a collie or is it an Aussie? Is it an Aussie? Well, what color is it?
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I said a collie, but I don't mean that. I meant a golden retriever. Every image is of a golden retriever. And I spoke collie. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
golden.
So the whole thing is golden. Golden.
Golden
right? No, no other markings. Oh, okay.
I don't see any other markings. It's gold. And it's got longer hair, but it's a very faithful. And actually, as I see it, it's very attached to him. And what I'm understanding is these two contracted to be together.
Oh. What's the dog's name? Is it a female or a male? And what's the name?
Actually, he's calling it Lucy.
Oh, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, hey, Brandon, Eric, you guys want to take some calls and help some people on this side of the veil?
Eric says, hell yeah, and he's rubbing his hands together, and he's, like, elbowing Brandon, like, come on, let's do this. Yeah.
Oh,
Eric
my God.
Believe,
oh.
You know, and
Kevin,
I think Eric would
Kevin
be that.
Will never be
Eric
the same.
Eric would be the lead. Right, exactly. Eric's got a protege.
Oh, boy. Or maybe it's the opposite. You could probably learn a lot from Brandon.
Yeah,
all right, let's take somebody from the 502 area code. Hi there, how are you doing?
Oh, my God, it's Terry.
Hi, how are you
doing,
Terry?
Oh, my God, hi.
Hi. What you got? Where are you calling from?
I can't remember. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. I emailed you the other day.
No, yeah, that's right. Okay, what you got?
I told you
Brandon?
I was going to call you, and I was like, I'm going to call you.
You're a good boy.
Thank
so
you
what
so
you got
much.
For
I am
Eric?
So excited.
I'm excited, too.
It's just way too much excitement. So I've been trying to talk to Eric all week. I am really stumped because I don't feel like I ever hear from the other side about anything. And it frustrates me to no end because I really, really, really try to keep my energy at a very high vibration. And I'm 46 years old, and I'm just at a loss for a lot of stuff. So I was really hoping that spending this week with Eric and talking to him about stuff and everything, that maybe he would just have a message for me and I would just be content with that because I'm just so excited.
He says, first thing out of his mouth is, dude, you're way too freaking literal. Okay? So, chill out. And the number one thing he's showing me, every time it's him, you're going to see a light, you're going to have a light bulb moment. Okay? Now, he's saying, you know how, like, the bubble comes over the head and you have the light bulb moment? He's saying it may be a flickering of the light. You may literally need to change the light bulb. You may have lights go in and out in your car for no reason. But he's talking about the light bulb moment with you. And he's asking me, or he's telling me to tell you that he doesn't want to have to hit you over the head.
Let's not go to
extreme.
Brandon, what do you have to say? And Mark, you can interject too. Maybe you can help this gentleman.
I think that people often expect the burning bush, at which you more often get, is it's going to be something very subtle, much more subtle than your five physical senses. So you need to get into a quiet place and kind of shut all that out as much as you can and then pay attention to the subtle. Even just like feelings that are floating by mildly sometimes tend to be how you get it, or an image or an idea or that kind of thing. So, and it ties to imagination too. So if you can allow yourself to kind of drift and just imagine, the next thing you know, you get some things that you think are your imagination and they kind of blend in and they're meaningful. Because where does imagination start or end versus, you know, an intuitive thought?
Yeah,
I always just tell people when I work with clients and I tell them how to do this, I tell them become a storyteller, become a creative, imaginative storyteller. So Eric has said to you, it's a light bulb moment. And he said, stop being so freaking literal. So what Mark just said was perfect because, you know, maybe it's not going to be literally the light flicking, although with Eric, we know that it might be. You might just have an aha moment, you know, like that phrase, the light bulb goes off. So Eric is saying, stop being so freaking literal and you will be more open to the flow of guidance.
And also remember that everything is energy, but including expectation. Yeah. And expectation is such a dense energy. It's really hard for spirits to plow through that. Brandon, what have you got to say to Terry?
Brandon is offering up. Brandon is very reluctant to come forward with this. Like, Mark, has he ever been a guide for anybody verbally that you know of? Because he seems very hesitant to speak up. Has he ever done this?
I think really not in this kind of a forum, no. But I feel like he works with me this way. And when I write, that both he and my dad give me insights that are included. Like, I'd say those latter chapters of Soul Shift, a lot of that was inspired writing, and I have to think it was both Brandon and my dad having a lot of that input.
Yeah.
So
well, it almost
I think
like
he's just more he's a little
quieter. Forgive me for the word, but yes,
he's quieter.
He's a virgin. He's a virgin when it comes to doing this with an open forum, is what I'm hearing him say to me. It's not that I can't do it, not that I won't do it, and not that I don't do it. He's saying it's just new to him. And I'm going to tell you something, honestly. Our energies are just meeting for the first time. So, you know, it's kind of like we're getting to know each other. I'm flowing into him, although he does think it's cool that I got the skater thing because he wants to know if I skate, but blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to see you do that. I'd like to see you
what,
do
what
it.
What I like about
Molly.
Oh, dear God. No, you wouldn't. What I like about his energy with Eric, he compliments Eric in the sense that he's the opposite of Eric in how he delivers the message. Brandon is very soft-spoken when he speaks to me, and he's also saying to the caller, he wants the caller to understand that there's something right now in front of you that you're not seeing, that people are telling you that it is what you should be looking at. So I don't know what that means. You can sit with that caller, but you want to look at what's happening in your life because people are telling you and you're just not seeing it. So open your eyes and believe it.
Wait, people? Like human living people or spirits?
Yes, yes. Yes,
okay,
there's something in the caller's life. And Brandon was very quick to pick up on that. And so whatever it is that people are saying to you, there's a constant theme that people are saying to you, and you are reluctant to believe what they're saying, and we're encouraging you to at least examine it for some truth.
All right, that's awesome. Terry, thanks for calling in.
Thank you all very much.
You betcha.
Take care, Terry.
Hey, Brandon, you should be on our radio show every once in a while, and y'all can, like, tag team. That'd be fun. Be fun.
The
boys right,
are
we got
cutting
somebody
up.
Oh, God, of course. All right, got somebody from the 720 area code. I can't talk. Hi there.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Elisa. It's Lucy. And
hi,
when,
Lucy.
Hi.
Hey, Lucy.
When Veronica said that the name Lucy was Brandon's dog's name, my heart started speeding up. I'm like, whoa.
You perked up.
What you got for the boys and Mark?
I want to know, I'm honored to have found out about Mark. It's the first time, and I will definitely look into your books. And I would just
thank you.
I'm an open book right now. I'm willing to take anything from my higher self that he would be willing to share. Let me know.
All right. What we got from her higher self?
Who's
she wants that
it?
From me?
Mark?
No,
she
wants a message from her higher self. Anything. Open book.
Which one? Which one of us?
Well, Veronica.
Yeah.
Veronica,
you got
Eric.
You got four of us here. You got four of us here. I don't know if Mark does this or not, but...
Okay, let's start with Eric. Eric and Brandon can sort of collude, not Russian collusion, but collude and come up with a message from her higher self.
So the higher self, and I don't know if this is your higher self, but Eric is showing me an image. You're like a tire stuck in the mud, and the harder you try, the deeper you go. Does that resonate at all?
Well, in a way, yeah.
Well, let me just clarify. Eric says you're spinning your wheels. You're taking too much time, too much effort on one thing that just doesn't fit. It's like a square peg in a round hole. He says, let it go. Do you know what it is? You don't have to say it, but do you know what it is?
Not sure. What can it be?
Does it have to do with a relationship or career? Or what can you give us a category, Brandon and Eric?
Well, he's saying it has to do with her overall general direction in life. It's like she's trying to be something she's not supposed to be. And the message from your higher self, what I see is it's got you cradled. So it's cradling you, it's holding you, it's rocking you. And forgive me for this question, but you're on air and I know it might be difficult. Do you struggle with sadness or depression?
Probably sadness.
Because there's something, and you don't walk around this way, Eric is saying, and you're not overly emotional, but we can feel something very deep and sad in you. And perhaps that's the thing that needs a different look at, a different perspective. Your soul, your higher self is cradling you right now, saying this is the time to dive in and look at it. So
well, what
while
is
this
it?
Message
let's,
may
let's...
not...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This message may not make sense to you at this moment, but if you sit
okay.
and think about it, you will find what it is. And I hope this is helpful. It sounds vague, but I hope that it's helpful to you. Does any of it resonate, sweetheart?
Well, I've been trying to find out the right direction on the new job and career because I was terminated from work back in May after teaching for almost 29 years, 30 years.
Oh, back
so right
the
now,
sad.
I'm like,
okay.
I'm
yeah.
interpreting, but it is, I love doing it, but it's not constant. So, yeah, it kind of hurts because it seems that I love doing it, but it's not sufficient financially.
So
I do feel
Brandon
like I am stuck.
Brandon has a message for you, and here's me interpreting Brandon's message. Lay out all your papers, put all your options down, and understand that at your core, you are a teacher. Whether you are physically employed by an organization that calls you a teacher, or whether you go out and you teach something on your own, you, my dear, are a teacher, and that is from Brandon. So whatever you do,
wow.
you must be teaching something. Does that make sense?
That was my question.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe she's off of her life
yes.
purpose. What's her life purpose? So her
mm-hmm.
purpose is to
teacher.
Be a teacher.
You are a teacher
yes.
at your core. A teacher through and through at your core. Brandon says forget about traditional. He's saying sometimes following the rules isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Tell me about it.
Mark
right.
and I know that one.
Okay.
Wow.
Does that help, sweetheart?
Yes. Thank
all right,
you.
Lucy. Bye. Thanks for calling in, sweetie.
Have a great one. Thank
you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's see if we could take one more call because I don't want to run into the other show because that really pisses them off. We have somebody from the 647 area code. Hey, what's up?
Hello. Hi.
Hi
thanks
there.
For taking
hi.
My call.
Hi. Sure.
Hi.
Thanks
hi
for
there.
Calling.
Okay, great. Well, I'm very honored, and I just wanted to ask a quick question about my boyfriend and I. We've kind of hit a rough spot, and he says I'm kind of negative all the time, but I'm going, in my defense, kind of I'm under a lot of financial and emotional stress from an old previous relationship. And mm-hmm. my boyfriend and I, we are making plans to get engaged and get married and have a child. We're actively trying to conceive and none of it's working out, so I wanted to know if I have any messages from Eric or Brandon.
Mm-hmm. So Eric is definitely saying no matter how hard you try, and it can be fun trying, it's not the time to conceive right now. And the reason it's not the time to conceive right now is you're working through the shadow stuff of the old relationship. There's still, we can feel a lot of energy and fear and trust issues from the last relationship. And you've got to extricate them. You've got to get rid of them. And you've done some work on it, but you still have a lot of that remnants of that left over. But I'm going to tell you, Eric is showing me that there is this magical moment, he's calling it, where ta-da, life does come to be. So the two of you are going to figure it out. You know, how fast you do it is completely up to you with your free will.
Well, what
okay.
can they do? What steps do they take?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example,
well,
it's all up to her. Prior did this prior relationship mm-hmm. have an element of, like, PTSD?
No. Do you have trust issues?
A little bit. They're coming to surface now, actually.
You're projecting onto him what happened to you at certain points, certain pivotal points in your life, not only with your relationship, but other points with other male figures in your life. You're projecting. Eric says, look at the projections and be honest with yourself. And really, it's not going to take you months and years and all of that. All you have to do is look at the projections, because you're somebody that when you put your mind to it, you're very regimented. A, B, C, D, right? You like routine.
Very.
You like it to be a certain way. You like organization. You like lists. Are you a list maker?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Totally, right?
It takes over.
I have
it's
lists just on
my
list.
When I feel out of control in other areas of my life, I need the organization to feel control.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Eric is calling you dude. Eric is calling you dude, even though I'm going to say, Eric, you know she's not a dude, but he's calling you dude because that's what he does. And Brandon's just kind of sitting back chilling. He's like, I don't know nothing about this. All right, so here's the thing. You know, work on the projection. And the reality is there have been certain pit stops in your life where people have let you down, people have not earned your trust. This isn't this man you're with. He's totally chill. He's totally cool.
Okay.
That's Eric's words, by the way.
Okay. So it's not a physical thing for me, because I'm 41 and I'm getting worried about that.
No. No, Eric says your eggs are good. Your eggs are good.
Hey, let's get personal while we're at it.
Dear God.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all your guidance.
For you.
Thank you, Eric and Brandon. And Veronica and Mark and Elise. Thank you, sweetheart. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. You guys check out Mark again, markirelandauthor.com, and findacertifiedmedium.com. And Mark, thank you so much. And also thank you for letting us, sharing your son with us. He just seems like an awesome dude. And I know they're going to rip up heaven after we get off the phone. So
it was my pleasure being here. And Brandon was pretty chill, just as described. So you guys take
Mark,
care and thanks for having me.
Mark, I want to talk to you. I want to
wants to be certified. Right, and Veronica.
Certified.
Yeah, Veronica, veronicadrake.com, peeps. And Eric, I love you.
Kisses.
Okay, bye, people. Enjoy your weekend, and we will see you next Thursday. Bye.
Still there?